Really, the seed is what carries the bloodline. We'll say it that way. In physical terms, we would talk about to castrate an animal would stop that seed transference from the male to the female. But the seed carries the bloodline, and it does say in Scripture that your children belong to the fathers. Jesus is called the seed of Abraham. Here we're talking about a bloodline that carries the power, the very characteristics of the bloodline are carried in the seed.
That's right.
Now, that's putting it over here in physical terms, but there is also a spiritual emasculation that is so serious, and it wants to render the power base, or that one that's called to be, for example, in a church, to be the pastor, to carry that anointing, to carry that message, that ordination. It wants to come against that and to stop it. In a business, it wants to stop the CEO or the owner of the business. It wants to scramble that business. It wants to defeat it. And what it's after is the anointing.
That's right. It sure is. And it takes from the one it's using all of the properties of his identity. And that's what emasculation is. And this spirit wants to really, it's coming against God. It's coming against God's power in human beings. And another thing is that one who may be formerly passive in his characteristics, in his personality, may become immediately aggressive, Darren. And we've seen that. We've seen changes in people where they used to be passive, and all of a sudden they got so aggressive and controlling in nature. And that's one characteristic of a Jezebel. It truly is.
Well,
all right.
And also in terms of the ruthless nature of that spirit, and it also comes to absolutely, and I like the explanation here because it is so right on, that ruthless spirit comes without conscience, but then the verbal intimidation is so intense that what it does through, and most of these people are masters at language, they're very threatening, it comes on as it's bigger than life, that it's invincible, and it makes the person that's being attacked feel helpless and insignificant, mm-hmm. like they're out of control, they're overwhelmed, like they don't count, like they have no chance to come back and come against the spirit. It's extremely serious what happens to the person that's being attacked by that spirit.
That's right. And so number 7 is that it's ruthless. Number 8, it's verbal intimidation. And that's the name of the game for the Jezebel spirit. It's a master at language, like you said, Darren. It's almost kind of got a bigger than life kind of an attitude towards its victims. And I want to give here... It shows the true nature of Satan, because Satan comes to us as a roaring lion. He comes growling and hissing and just making you feel like you're unable to come against him, where the New Testament over and over again says we can come against him. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. That's so important to know, that greater is he who is in you, Father God, than he who is in the world, and that's Satan. In Isaiah 14, it gives a few descriptive phrases about Satan and Lucifer and how he fell from heaven, and he became a proudful cherub in heaven. Here it says in the 16th verse of Isaiah 14, "Is this the man who made the earth tremble? Is this the man who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities? Is this the man who did not allow his prisoners to go home? Is this Satan who we have feared all these years?" And that's exactly how the Jezebel spirit operates. She operates with such intimidation that you think she's more powerful than you, but don't believe it. The God in you, the Holy Spirit in you, is greater than she is. Praise the Lord. And it's just one more characteristic of Satan. So we cannot believe her verbal intimidation here.
One of the reasons it's so important to understand what we're teaching you here is that if you get down and you need a miracle from the Lord, you need to really believe that all things are possible to him who believes. But you know, if you've been giving in to a strong influence of a Jezebel spirit, you're not going to be able to take the scripture and say, God, I'm going to pray for my own healing. I'm going to pray for someone else's healing. I'm going to pray for their finances. I'm going to pray for mine. I'm going to pray for the church building program. If you're so intimidated and you've been spiritually emasculated by this thing, you can't pick up the word of God and go after it.
Mm-mm.
You can't go with confidence into the throne room saying, I know who I am. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. I'm a new creation. I'm going to get up and go for it. You won't have that spirit of fight in you. And this Jezebel spirit wants to make you so that you're a wimp, mm-hmm. so that you don't fight back, so that you don't try.
That's right. It gives that person that it's operating in or operating against a spirit of absolute hopelessness, Darren, in this situation.
Well, one thing, number 10, in some of these characteristics here, that it is very good at demanding its own ways and no other ideas or plans are considered. And frequently I've shared with people, sometimes publicly, and I guess I'll do it here publicly, I knew a pastor one time. In fact, I met him on two different occasions with one of his assistants, and I said, now listen, you just had a board meeting, and your board and you made a decision. And pastor friend, you went home, and your wife said, no, 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 we're not going to do that. We're going to do something else. And you wimped out, and you gave in to that Jezebel spirit operating in your wife. I said, that's wrong.
Well, you know, counsel from some wives is very good, Darren.
No, I agree with that. But
I was hoping you would.
If your church is set up to where you have a board and they're making business decisions and they're the official function in that church, and you're the leader answerable to God, then you should be answerable more to the Father God and more to that church than a Jezebel spirit. Mm-hmm. It may not be your wife. It may be one of the leading givers in your church. And often that's true. And we say in ministerial circles, well, who owns the pastor's refrigerator?
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, who's writing the big checks? You've got to be so careful that you don't give in to that, because the Satan will take good people and turn them into monsters that started out with good motivations. But you've got to take on, if you see that Jezebel spirit rising up in your church or your business, you've got to go after that thing.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
And silence
that.
Oh,
got it. Yes, that's right. And we have the power through Holy Spirit to do that. Oh, it's
well,
wonderful.
Well, you quoted a while ago, Barbara, the scripture in 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Yes.
And Mark 10:27 says, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. You have to realize who sent you to do your job.
Yes.
And I'm talking to you business people, as well as you people in ministry, as well as you people in education and the professions. God is the one that put you in your position.
That's right.
You didn't put yourself there. And if we take a look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, it says, what do you have that you did not receive? It all came from God. Mm-hmm. You got to realize who set you up and who made you what you are.
This is one spirit, Darren, that I wouldn't just pray about. I wouldn't ignore it. I'll tell you, this is one spirit that you confront. You get some leaders behind you or some people in your congregation. If it's in your family, you go to your elders and you speak to them. This is a situation in which you need to confront this spirit. And if you recognize the things that we have talked about as characteristics of someone close to you or someone that's got the family in an uproar or turmoil or the church in an uproar or turmoil, you go to the elders. And you give these points that we have just given about how it's religious, it's manipulative, it's subtle, it emasculates, it's ruthless, it's verbal intimidation will destroy. And we need to confront this spirit, because every part hidden and revealed in the Jezebel spirit is immoral. Every single part in this Jezebel spirit. There is no ministry, not even a tiny part of this Jezebel spirit is ministry. Even though it looks like it was real ministry, there is no part of this Jezebel spirit that's prophetic or ministry or intercessory. No part.
Well, I've seen people in a church setting, because I was raised in church. My dad was a pastor, but I've heard him say, well, that old witch isn't going to control me, you know, or that old boy isn't going to get me. I mean, they always want their way. Well, now, it's wrong for that person to have allowed that Jezebel spirit in her life, but I suspect that nobody has ever confronted that mm-hmm. spirit with the Word.
That's right. With
and
the
we
word.
Have to bow not to those strong spirits that motivate us, but to the Word of God. That's where our ultimate accountability is. So let me say it this way. It's wrong for that person to have that spirit operating through them, and it's wrong for you to tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many of you are just as wrong as that person with that Jezebel spirit, because you never had the spiritual courage to get up and take the Word of God, the authority of the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, and confront that thing.
That's right. And there needs to be great prayer. There needs to be agreement in this council that you're going to whoever it is that you feel has a Jezebel spirit. And you cannot reason with this Jezebel spirit. You cannot sit around in a little circle and say, now, dear, this spirit has got to be confronted. We can't go with all these niceties and everything. We've got to go with strong prayer power, Darren.
Well, I can give you an example. We were opening a brand new church sanctuary, and somehow the people did not like the color of the walls of the sanctuary.
and the grand opening, the time when we were going to dedicate or whatever, I can't remember the term we used, but it was like 2 or 3 days away. Well, let me tell you, the powerful voices in the church said,